Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus said, I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure that you give will be the measure you get back. The Gospel of the Lord. Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. There's a podcast on NPR that I've enjoyed listening to over the past couple of years. It's called Invisibilia, and it's a collection of stories about the unseeable forces that control human behavior, that shape our ideas, beliefs, and assumptions. An episode aired a couple of years ago called Flip the Script, and its basic premise is this. It's a documented psychological phenomenon that we interact with other people. When we do so, we tend to mirror the way that they act towards us. If they are kind to us, we are kind to them. If they are hostile towards us, we return their hostility. This is the general rule for how we as humans tend to behave. And when we don't behave this way, it can have some pretty dramatic results. The researcher who has spent his career studying this phenomenon coined a term for those times when someone does not respond in a way that mirrors the other person. When instead of responding to hostility with hostility, they respond to hostility with kindness. He calls this non-complementary behavior. And the stories featured in the episode of the podcast illustrate the incredible things that can happen when people respond in these kinds of non-complementary ways. The first story takes place at a backyard summer dinner party. The guests were all enjoying good food and one another's company when a stranger walked into the yard with a weapon and demanded that everyone give him all of their money. Everyone froze. None of them had cash on them, and so as they were trying to stall and figure out what they were going to do. And in the middle of that tension, in that moment, a woman at the party spoke up. And she offered the man a glass of wine and some food. To the surprise of everyone present, he accepted and sat down to eat. When he was finished eating, he said that he must have been mistaken and he had come to the wrong house. And before he left, he asked for a hug from everyone present. And he left only with the glass of wine that he was holding. And even this, the hosts of the dinner party found placed neatly in the alley next to their house the next morning. Which of us would have thought to respond in such a way to the threat of a robber at our dinner party? And yet it changed everything about the situation. Meeting his hostility with kindness flipped the script on the evening's events. And as you can imagine, if you were letting yourself wonder what you might have done in that moment, it's no easy task to do this kind of thing. And yet this is exactly what Jesus is encouraging his disciples to do in the gospel this morning, to turn the other cheek, to do good to those who hate them, to forgive. And that's not easy. This morning in the reading from Genesis, we heard the story of Joseph forgiving his brothers who tried to kill him and who sold him to a band of traitors. What we don't see, though, is the way that Joseph struggled leading up to that point. He's actually been interacting with his brothers for months, since they first came to Egypt in search of help during a time of drought. And when Joseph's brothers first appear to him, they don't recognize him because they had no reason to think he was alive, let alone the person standing in front of them. And so Joseph, he just kind of messes with them for a while. He makes demands of them, but then he gives them back their money along with the grain they need. But then he makes his brothers worry that he's setting them up, and then they come back and he throws them lavish meals, and then he imprisons them. And eventually, he reaches the point that he can't keep up the charade anymore. And he reveals his identity to his brothers. That's where our story picked up this morning. Joseph tells them that there will be 5 more years of famine and that they should bring their father and all of their families to Egypt to settle there, where he will take care of them. The family is reunited and Joseph forgives them. But what the story this morning doesn't quite reveal, though, is that it took Joseph some time to get to that point. He had plenty of opportunities to reveal his identity and make amends with his brothers, but he didn't get there right away. I love this longer version of the story because it illustrates so well just how hard the work of forgiveness is. Jesus tells us to love our enemies, to turn the other cheek, to forgive. It's no easy ask. And it comes with no assurances that when we turn the other cheek, that they won't strike us on that one too. One thing that can't be left unsaid is that there are interpretations of this passage that have been used to keep people trapped in abusive relationships, to tell them that they should always turn the other cheek and forgive as they are being abused again and again and again. But this interpretation makes no sense in the wider context of the Sermon on the Plain that Jesus is preaching in Luke's gospel. His words today come immediately following the blessings and woes of last week, blessings on the poor, the meek, the hated, and woes to those in power. Jesus' words are overturning worldly power structures. They're not reinforcing them. What he is encouraging his followers to do is much more similar to the kind of non-complimentary behavior featured on that episode of Invisibilia. To act from their convictions in the face of whatever comes their way, rather than reacting to what others do to them. And this is a powerful stance. It's acting from a position of strength. To love, to pray for, to forgive is something we are always capable of, no matter what the opposition has to offer. And it does not rely on the actions of that other person to make them possible. We love because God loves. We pray and ask for help to see them the way that God does. And we ask that they would know God's presence in their lives. And we forgive because as Christians, we have known a forgiveness more powerful than the worst thing we have ever done or anything that we could ever do. And we hope that we could extend that to others. Not because they have necessarily done a thing to deserve it. And maybe they're not even interested in it. But forgiveness is not just about them. Something happens to us when we forgive, when we let go of our desire for revenge or retaliation, when we drop those chains that are connecting us to the person who has harmed us. Lutheran pastor Nadia Bolz-Weber addressed this idea when she said, "Maybe retaliation or holding on to anger about the harm done to me doesn't actually combat evil. Maybe it feeds it. Because in the end, if we're not careful, we can actually absorb the worst of our enemy and at some level start to become them. So what if forgiveness, rather than being an easy way to say, it's okay, is actually a way of wielding bolt cutters and snapping the chains that link us? What if it's saying, what you did was so not okay, and I refuse to be connected to it anymore?" And she describes the radical vision for what life could be like if we let go of the anger and resentment and forgive. When we let ourselves be free. She writes, "Forgiveness is about being a freedom fighter, and free people are dangerous people. Free people aren't controlled by the past. Free people laugh more than others. Free people see beauty when others do not. Free people are not easily offended. Free people are unafraid to speak truth to stupid. Free people are not chained to resentments. And that's worth fighting for." This kind of forgiveness doesn't depend on an apology from the other person. This kind of freedom is possible even if the other person isn't sorry and would have every intention of hurting you again if given the chance. This kind of forgiveness that Jesus invites us into in the gospel this morning is one that offers us freedom no matter what someone else might do. It offers us a life that's not controlled by what others do to us or say about us, because those things can't shake us. God came to earth and took on a human body so that it would be really clear that God loves us. And there is nothing that's going to change that. There's nothing, not even death, that could overcome that. And this is what gives us power. This is what gives us strength. This is what keeps us going when the world throws its worst our way. This is how we have the confidence to respond with love rather than react with fear at the things that happen to us. Jesus invites us in his words this morning to a life of freedom that is only possible by God's love, a love that gives us the power to let go of our anger and makes possible for us the kind of peace and newness of life we could never experience when we're weighed down by our resentment. It's not easy work, and we can't know in advance what the outcomes will be. But with the love of God always behind us, and the possibility of true freedom out ahead, our forgiveness is a step forward in faith. And it's one that we never make alone. Amen.